For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, Paul says, and don't submit again to another yoke of slavery. 6 weeks in a row we've been living with Paul's epistle, his beloved letter to the Galatians, and today he's reminding us once again that there's a war going on, that there are people who are false prophets that have only one goal in mind, that's to destroy the unity of the body of Christ, to tear apart everything that God wants to build up, to take the beautiful fruit, singular, of the Spirit and to replace it with the manifold works of the flesh. And there are so many of them that when Paul gets done with the vice list, and there's lots of vice list and virtue list in the New Testament, this is just one of them, he says, and things like these. There's a war going on. There's a battlefield within the human being. And Paul says that the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, they're not friends. They're enemies. They're opposed to each other. Because they know that when all is said and done, one has to be destroyed and only one can survive for eternity. This is the victory that overcomes the world, Paul says. It's the victory of our faith. We are justified through the faith of Jesus, so our faith, the subject of which, the source of which, is Jesus Christ. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And everything minus Jesus equals nothing. Don't let anyone mess with the gospel. Paul digs in his heels and he says, I am upset. We should be upset, but not irritated and sad and mad and angry and contentious, but upset as the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. The gift of God's grace that we've been endowed with is upsetted and spread and shared around the world. When someone has returned the rental car, if they start backing up and going in reverse, it's going to ruin the tires and somebody's going to have to pay for it. Paul says the works of the flesh are opposed to the fruit of the Spirit. Plural, singular. Just like the gospel. Remember Evangelion? When Paul says there's no other gospel in the New Testament, Evangelion, gospel, good news, is always in the singular. Oh, in the world there's lots of good news as. But they're all temporary. They're all going to die. There's only one eternal good news, Evangelion. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't add anything to it, and you can't subtract anything from it, because if you do, it's not good news, and it's not Jesus, and there is no eternal promise. Don't let anyone bewitch you, Paul says. Don't let anyone cast a spell on you. Don't let anyone convince you that the freedom you have in Christ is a license for sin. Or legalism for some kind of morally better or superior person. There's no other gospel. And Paul will say it until he's blue in the face. The Greek New Testament that we have in our first reading for today, it talks about that if we live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. The Greek literally means we should line up. Let's line up, right? It's time to line up. We have to have our core values and beliefs in alignment with, right, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Teachers in school, and I checked this out with some teachers. I said, do you have kids line up? I said, they still do this? You know, my wife's a teacher, my daughter, my son, and daughter-in-law, my son-in-law. They said, well, yeah. Well, why do we do that? Let's line up. You ever go to Disneyland or Disney World? And they got those long lines of mazes that can take you an hour, hour and a half. I mean, they'll have some signs, you know, 35 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes until the front of the line. It's to promote good order. It's to try to put a lid on chaos. We line up the kids so that there is an orderly progression as they go to the library or to an assembly or as they get ready to get on the bus. That's what Paul is saying. He said, we've received the Spirit of adoption. You began with the Spirit. Why would you want to end with the flesh? Why would you want to trade or forfeit the fruit, singular, of the Spirit that you received in baptism when we were clothed with the righteousness of Jesus? Why would you want to exchange that for the works of the flesh? Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's messing with you? Who's messing with the gospel? It's got to stop. Paul is upset. Paul is concerned about the unity of the body of Christ that he brought the gospel to because of a personal illness in his own life and not because of the deliberate will and plan of himself. For freedom, Christ has set us free. But freedom is not a license for sin or a recipe for chaos. Let's line up, Paul says. Let's get in line. Line up with the Spirit, not the works of the flesh. N.T. Wright, former Anglican bishop and New Testament scholar with impeccable credentials, he's written a commentary in Galatians, and he has a story in there. He says, what can happen when this war is going on between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit? He said, it can be like, well, there's a beautiful building inside and out, the building and the grounds, and it's called the Radcliffe Camera. It's located in the very center of Oxford University over in England. He said, it's just absolutely beautiful, and people come and they paint it, and people come and they take photography, you know, photographs of it. And then he talks about the history of that place. It had a beautiful, it's a library, and so people would come and study there, and then the grass around it, and years ago it had these high iron fences that were around it to kind of protect it. And then during World War II, they had to get rid of all those metal fences, those big high things, so that they could use it. I mean, they were melting down almost anything and everything in those days for weapons of war. This fence that was there to just simply provide protection for the beauty that had been given. And then in the 50s and 60s, when there was no fence and just the grass and the building, they put up a few little signs. We might call them courtesies. Please don't walk on the grass. And most people understood the gift, the treasure. And they wanted to honor that little request. Please don't walk on the grass. A few didn't, because, you know, they were free. Free to do as they please. Well, I think that's a misunderstanding of freedom. In the 70s and 80s, well, chaos reigned. I mean, everybody was there. In fact, it became a nice picnic area, and the grass was getting trampled down, and it was becoming bare. And then all of a sudden, a lot of people would come there, and they would do drug deals, and they'd have drinking parties, and then it became a violent area, an unsafe area in the 70s and 80s, even to the point where then it was so loud and noisy that nobody wanted to go into the library. And the building and the grounds became a mess. So guess what they did in the late 1980s? They put up a fence again. Oh, thank goodness, N.T. Wright says, not as high, but once again to provide some protection and to restore the beauty of the Radcliffe Camera, the library, and the grass around it. N.T. Wright says, this is a tale of what happens when people misunderstand the gospel. And they think that freedom means I can do whatever I please. Paul says, what is it that pleases you now that you've been crucified with Christ and raised to new life? Now that you are a new creation, what is it that pleases you? Martin Luther, Book of Concord, large catechism, third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I brought the book with. I was going to read it, but I'm not going to. You can read it on your own. But it's a wonderful reflection by Martin Luther saying there's a war going on between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Luther says that the human being is a horse, and we're either ridden by God or we're ridden by the devil. And whoever rides us accomplishes their will in us. If the devil rides us, then Satan's will is done. And if God rides us, then God's will is done. And so we pray that God's will, which is done, Luther says, apart from our willfulness, our cooperation, or our againstness, we pray that God's will would be done in our lives as well. To embrace the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. The gospel is not a permission slip for lawlessness and disorder, where everybody gets upset and where the unity of the body of Christ is destroyed. The fruit of the Spirit is to be upset and distributed, not for discord, but for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such pulses, there is no law. We've been endowed with the Spirit. We were baptized and adopted in the Spirit and received every one of those fruits, which are collectively just one fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. What does freedom look like? In the 1920s, in the state of Massachusetts, a tragedy took place. There was a young man who was with his friends. The friends were all hanging out and doing some stuff. He said, "I'm going out on the pier for a walk." They said, "Well, we'll be out there in 5-10 minutes and we'll join you." He was out toward the end of the pier in the state of Massachusetts, and he tripped over a rope. He fell into the cold waters of the ocean bay. He didn't know how to swim, and the waters showed no mercy. He flailed. He yelled out, "Help me! Help me! I can't swim!" But his friends were too far away. And by the time they heard his voice and got there, he'd already drowned. But there was another man who was there sunbathing on the beach, only yards away from this man who was drowning. And he sat there and he did nothing, even though he was an excellent swimmer. The family was so upset with what had happened that they sued this sunbather. And you know what happened in the court? Even though they didn't want to pronounce this verdict, they had no choice. They said, legally, he was not obligated to go into the water and render assistance. So he was not guilty for the death of that man. Paul says that we're free from the law for the law. And the whole law is summed up in one commandment, Paul says, you will love. There's no other choice. That's what the kingdom of God is. We will love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We will love our neighbor as ourselves, as God has first loved us. We will, for there is no other kingdom of God. A number of years ago, probably about 15 years ago, there was a young man named Michael. Not the Michael that works here, okay? Michael Scott. Michael Scott was a classmate of my son Joshua. And I would take the kids down to Minneapolis, St. Paul on a thing called Twin Cities Cruising. And there was 25, 30 kids, and it was a time for us to have fun together, but also to grow in our faith together. We'd go to a black Baptist church that usually be about 3.5, 4.5 hours long. I mean, it was a good experience for the kids. They appreciated an hour and a half in a Lutheran church after that. They did. Well, on this particular Twin Cities Cruising, I'd gotten tickets for a theatrical production, a small little theater place in the heart of Minneapolis, St. Paul, a black theater production, A Raisin in the Sun. Beautiful. And it was so small. I mean, the theater was smaller than our worship space here, and we had front row seats. So literally, right here, the action is happening, and we're sitting. We could almost reach out and touch the actors and actresses. So that was on our itinerary. So we had to get down there on a Friday, and we had to leave Little Falls, and we didn't have time to sit down, you know, for an hour or two for evening dinner. So what do? You do fast food, right? We went to a Wendy's restaurant, because there's several different lines that they could line up in, and they could get their food, and they had some variety in the menu, etc. So everything was working out well, and they're sitting in their little groups at the tables, four here, five there, you know. And I'm sitting with some kids, and Mike was over there with my son Josh and a couple of others, and all of a sudden I see him get up and go with his food up to the counter. I thought, what's going on? I said, something wrong? Something wrong with his food? And they said, there's a human hair in his hamburger. You know what that does to kids? There was all kinds of dissension and unrest. Everybody was starting to get upset, you know? They said, I don't want to. Why did we come here, Pastor Dave? Why did you choose this restaurant? You know, this is a sick place. We're all going to end up sick here. Kids didn't want to eat the rest of their meals and stuff like that, you know. And then we got done and we had to go over to the theater. And I've always had a governing principle. Don't bring anything along on a youth trip that you'd feel bad about if it got lost or stolen or broken, you know. Well, we were in there and we enjoyed this amazing production of A Raisin in the Sun. And we come out, you know, and I think the kids have kind of forgotten about, you know, the human hair and the hamburger thing. And all of a sudden they get in the vehicle and they said, somebody's been in my stuff. I mean, we had several vehicles. Somebody had forgotten to lock the side door in one of the vans. And somebody got in there. And Michael, the young boy that had the human hair and his hamburger, he had brought 30 music CDs with him. You know, the nice new ones right in the cases and everything. That's not cheap. I said, wow. I said, Michael, I said, how come you brought that with? And then Bethany Mueller, she says, my camera's gone. She borrowed the school camera. Big fancy camera. $1,200. For freedom, we're free, huh? Oh my goodness. All kinds of upset unrest. We get to the church that we're staying at that night, and guess what our Bible study devotions is on? Galatians. Right? God has an amazing sense of humor. Don't be mocked. We reap what we sow. Be careful if you bite and devour, because you'll self-consume, and all the contentions and the works. They said, those are the works of the flesh, Pastor Dave. Right? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's what sin does. Well, in the midst of it, though, we had a wonderful moment of healing. The fruit of the Spirit appeared in our midst. Because as everybody was kind of pointing fingers, and whose fault was it that the door of the car didn't get locked? And, well, Bethany, you shouldn't have brought the... Bethany said, you know what? She said, this is my fault. I shouldn't have brought this camera. And we said, well, let's check about the insurance. You know, we might be okay. You know, we've filed a police report. Let's not get all upset about this. Let's just let it run its course, you know, and stuff. And then the other kid said, you know, it's all of our responsibility to make sure that the doors were locked and not to bring valuables with and stuff. We all share in this. And then Michael says, I need to share something. He said, the food there at Wendy's was fine. I'm the one that put that human hair in my own hamburger. Oh, Michael, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You could have ruined the reputation of that place. You could have destroyed everything. He said, well, I just didn't like the food I'd ordered, so I thought I would go up there and then I could get a whole new meal free. And so we prayed together. 25, 30 kids. Asking God to forgive us for the things that we do. And asking God to forgive the one that had stolen the camera and the CDs and for healing. St. Paul says that we're free. That we have liberty in Christ. And what is it that pleases us? The good and gracious will of God. We want to know God's will. We want to participate fully in it, but make no mistake, there's a battlefield within the human being. This morning, I got a trash bag, and I started taking down all these works of the flesh. But you know what happens? Trash has a tendency to come out of the trash can. You're right? And it's all up again, isn't it, Michael? Right? I mean, that's the way it is in life. So I told Michael, I said, you know what? I said, evidently people are going to be digging through the trash, and that just isn't going to work.
And I said, I think what we're going to have to do is try to figure out something more permanent. And maybe the only thing we can do so that we can guarantee that what we're going to be left with is the fruit of the Spirit and not this trashy stuff, you know, which is the works of the flesh, is if we get one of these shredders in here and we just start shredding this trash. I suppose people can still dig through it, try to put that stuff together again, huh? Yeah, see, we can have some help with this. I mean, it doesn't just have to be one person trying to clean up the mess, right? We can get rid of this stuff, and we can do it together. Look at that. Ah, thank you. We get it all? Huh? Oh, my goodness. Come on. Thank you. Uh-oh. Look at this. You see how Satan works? Huh? This thing's jammed. I told you. Luther said it. Paul said it. Huh? Gee, many Christmas. I mean, there's a battle going on. Huh? It's a mess, folks. And we've got to stop letting the devil mess with us. Huh? And I don't care what happens to the shredder. Right? This stuff has got to stop. Yeah. All right. Enough of that stuff. We got the fruit of the Spirit. We got it in baptism. And that's what we're going to hold on to. And when we play fruit basket upset, it's not so that we can create discord and disunity in the body. No. When we get upset, it's going to be when people are messing with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're not going to tolerate it. And when we get upset, we're going to take love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. We're going to spread it by the grace of God. Because we know what Paul said, that those who forfeit the fruit of the Spirit and embrace the works of the flesh, those who live by the flesh perish by the flesh. Dear friends in Christ, do you hear what Paul said? Let's line up. Let's line up with the Spirit, because Christ has set us free for freedom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.